You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning, everybody. This is Bob Gilligan of the Catholic Conference of Illinois. It is a beautiful Monday morning here in Chicago at 9 o'clock a.m. You're listening to AM 950 AM, Relevant Radio 950 AM. And this morning's show will be basically we'll have two subjects this morning. First of all, we're going to be talking with Mark Randall, who is on the board of directors for the Illinois Catholic Prayer Breakfast. And we'll be talking a little bit about that exciting event. And I know there's been some advertisements on Relevant Radio recently about it. It's coming up on March 6th. And we'll be talking to Mark for the first 10 to 15 minutes of our program to get some more information about the Illinois Catholic Prayer Breakfast. And then we're going to do a transition into talking a little bit about some of the legislative issues that we're facing this year in Springfield, the Catholic Conference legislative issues. And we'll be joined on the line by the two associate directors of the Catholic Conference, Mary Lou Garvaccio, who does a lot of the work for the social services aspect of our advocacy, as well as Zach Wickman, who does a substantial amount of work in the area of education and pro-life related legislation. But before we get into the legislative activities section of our show, we're going to do an overview of all the issues that we're going to be involved with this current upcoming year. And as you know, the governor released his budget address recently. We'll be talking about not only the legislative issues, but the budget issues as well. But before we get into that conversation, we're going to be joined this morning by Mark Randall to talk about the Illinois Catholic Prayer Breakfast. And let's see if Mark is on the line with us. Hopefully he is. Mark, are you there?
I am. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning. How are things? Where are you? In central Illinois?
That's right. Downstate in Champaign-Urbana.
Oh, great. Well, how are things in Champaign-Urbana today?
Well, we're waiting on some snow to come later today, and that'll keep our students happy here at the University of Illinois, but they're used to it at this time.
Oh, gosh, that's surprising, because it's like 85 degrees and sunny up here in Chicago. I don't know what your problem is down there.
I need to relocate.
Oh, it is just one of those February mornings, but we'll get through it. That's probably a good transition into terms of looking forward, and looking forward to not only the Catholic Prayer Breakfast to spring, and which ties into the theme of the Illinois Catholic Prayer Breakfast. Mark, maybe let's start a little bit with what is the Prayer Breakfast, and how did you get involved with this? It's really an exciting thing. It's a first time in the state of Illinois that we're doing an Illinois Catholic Prayer Breakfast. And give us a little context and of the exciting event coming up.
Sure. Our event is based on the National Catholic Prayer Breakfast, which was started back in 2004. It takes place in Washington, D.C. in April of every year. I began attending that event a couple of years ago, in part in the work that we do here at St. John's Catholic Newman Center at the University of Illinois. We've been a sponsor of that the past couple of years, and it's such a phenomenal time. It's a time for Catholics to come together to celebrate their faith, to pray for our nation, their leaders, give glory and honor to God, and learn a little bit, to share in fellowship and learn about the faith a little bit. And last year, after that event was over, I approached Joe Sella, who was one of the co-founders of that organization, and said, Joe, I'd love to do this back in Illinois. Have you thought about branching out? And he said, you know, there are a couple other people that have that same idea. Let me put you in touch. So a few months later, I came back and met with some folks in Chicago, all of whom now are on our board of directors. And long story short, we have taken the national model and applied it here in the state of Illinois.
And it's coming up soon. It's give us the dates and the time.
Sure. It's next Thursday, March 6th. It will begin at 6:15 in the morning. I know that's a bit early. That part we might say is a little bit optional, but with the Holy Rosary followed by Mass, celebrated by Bishop Papraki there of your archdiocese.
Mm-hmm.
The formal breakfast and program will begin at 7:30. We'll have a full breakfast, and then we have a keynote program by George Weigel, noted theologian and biographer of JP2. He'll be giving us a presentation. We expect to adjourn probably by 9:30, so folks will miss a little bit of work in the morning, but we'll certainly get you out to take advantage of most of the day. But most importantly, it's a time to come together in prayer and Catholic fellowship.
And time well spent, actually. It's a good way to begin the day on March 6th. And Mark, in terms of if people want more information and how do they go about doing that, if people are interested in attending, what's the best way? If I were interested in going, how can I find out more about the event?
Sure. It'll be held at the Chicago Hilton and Towers. It's $45 a plate. And there are two ways that you can register. One, through our website, and that website is IllinoisCatholicPrayerBreakfast.com. All those words spelled out, no spaces. There's all the information you could want and then some on that website, and a very slick online registration system that will take a credit card for you. If you'd like to mail us a check or give us a verbal registration, you can do so at the following number. It's 888-970-7776.
And once again, that's Illinois Catholic Prayer Breakfast. It's the same. It's the words just spelled out. It's .com, correct?
Yes.
.com. And the number, once again, it's 1-888-970-7776. And it's on March 6th, and it's at the Hilton in downtown Chicago. And parking is available downtown at the Hilton. There's a small fee for parking, I believe, if at the Hilton. But public transportation is also able to be used. It's easily accessible. And it'll be a real exciting event on March 6th at the Hilton downtown. Mark, in terms of the context, I think it's interesting also for listeners to be aware that I think this is an outgrowth of my understanding of the whole call to new evangelization that is called for by Pope John Paul II.
Absolutely. You know, he said that those methods should be new in ardor, methods and expression, so that all people might have a life-transforming encounter with the living God. And I think that one of the things we've seen, certainly here in the state of Illinois and Chicago, downstate here in Champaign, is we're, as Catholics, we're really beginning to see those new ways that we can evangelize each other and be evangelized ourselves, whether that's through the internet, radio medium, certainly such as you're doing there, the recorded word, those kinds of things, and the ability just for us to come together and celebrate and learn in our faith and share that with each other. You know, this event is a Catholic event, but it's absolutely open to people of all faiths. And we would certainly invite anyone to come and share with us next Thursday.
And I think the other exciting part about this, for people who are interested in attending or if you're a little bit on the fence, is it's not only people coming together for fellowship, which is actually very important, and to share in prayer and Mass and to listen to exciting speaker or two, but also I think what we're trying to do is there'll be a lot of exposure to Catholic-related groups. There'll be groups that have exhibition booths up there, so people may be exposed to other ministries and other forms of evangelization that they may not be aware of.
Absolutely. You know, we have a great group of sponsors, people that are helping underwrite the event, and the folks that have bought tables, folks that are doing booths, Love from Above, Word on Fire, Vino Domini, Catholic Charities, Sanctuary Divine Mercy, Daughters of St. Paul, the Knights of Columbus, Legatus, Loyola Academy, on and on and on. Folks who really, we weren't entirely sure how well we'd be able to get this event sponsored, but once we put the word out and really began to illustrate what we were trying to do, we've been really successful, and I think people, again, people understand the validity of what we're doing, and that this is, as our tagline says, it's a new springtime of faith, and they want to be a part of it.
Yeah, the whole word on fire, it does spread like fire. It's interesting because it's like any project. The first time you do it, there's hurdles you have to overcome that you may not have foreseen. And I think right now, in the last 2 weeks of it, I think I can see the event all sort of coming together. And I think really now what we're trying to do is just get the word out in as many different forums as possible to make people aware of this exciting event coming up on March 6th at the Hilton. And the number is 1-888-970-7776. And the other exciting part about that, too, is it's very easy to register. If you just go onto the internet, you can go onto that website that Mark talked about, the Illinois Prayer, Catholic Prayer Breakfast.com. It'll take you right to an easy payment method if you can just use a credit card or however you want to pay. And the other thing, too, is I think we want to encourage as many people to come out that morning as possible. You're going to meet people that you may not meet during your normal course of daily events. I think you'll be inspired by not only Bishop Opraki's homily, but some of the speakers that day and who you will be encountering that day. I think it'll be a good form of fellowship and a chance for you to be excited about being Catholic. And I think we need to afford people more opportunities for that feeling of being excited about being a Catholic. And what does that mean in today's world? Because it is a tough world out there sometimes, and we have a lot of competing messages and a lot of pulls on our time. And I think it's nice when we can just take a couple minutes out of our day and sort of focus and center and send us on our way. And I think, once again, building that theme back to that theme of new evangelization is really important. Mark, any other comments or other things you wanted to include in terms of making people more aware of the Illinois Catholic Prayer Breakfast?
I think we've covered it all. I would just encourage your listeners to, if they do have interest, to please respond pretty quickly today. Our space is limited at the Hilton, and we certainly want to try and accommodate everybody that has interest in coming. But from what I've seen of the numbers lately, it's filling up very quickly. So I would encourage, if you have an interest, to come and join us next Thursday, March 6th at the Hilton for the Illinois Catholic Prayer Breakfast. You do so today by going to that website and registering or calling the number.
Yep, and if it's any one more bit of enticement is the theme of the event is called a new springtime of faith, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
So if there was ever a day when you thought that springtime needs to come as soon as possible, I think it's a day like today. It's a little overcast, and we're kind of in the throes of winter, and I think we need that little push or a little light at the end of the tunnel. Let us know that springtime is right ahead. And once again, I think it would be a great day to spend the morning. Be optimistic. Springtime is coming, not only in terms of the spring of the season, but a whole new way of evangelization. And like I said, that bit of inspiration that you'll get that morning of the 6th. Mark, thanks so much for joining us this morning. I think we will call a conclusion to this segment. If, once again, Mark, let me just one more time remind people it's on March 6th, and it's at the Hilton downtown Chicago. And the phone number again?
Is 888-970-7776.
Okay, great. Mark, thanks so much for joining us this morning. I'm sure that it'll be an exciting event. And once again, we encourage all people to make it to that very exciting first annual. Mark, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
When we come back, we'll be joined by Zach Wickman and Mary Lou Garvaccio of the Catholic Conference staff to talk about the legislative issues that the Catholic Conference of Illinois is involved with. The number here is 312-751-1979. We'll be back after this brief message.
You're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
Hundreds of church leaders pack Guerin High School for a question and answer session with Cardinal George. We have some of the highlights from Parish Leadership Day. And students from across the Archdiocese celebrate African American heritage at a special Mass at Holy Name Cathedral.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You, compelling television about your Archdiocese.
Celebrate our Catholic faith in the land down under. Pope Benedict XVI is calling young people from around the world to join him in July 2008 for World Youth Day in Sydney, Australia.
This vibrant celebration features popular Catholic musicians, catechesis by our bishops, including our own Cardinal Francis George, and an overnight vigil mass with the Pope.
Call the Office for Catechesis and Youth Ministry for details on this once-in-a-lifetime spiritual journey.
The number is 773-388-8674. That number again, 773-388-8674. Join 1 million young Catholics in this global expression of Catholic faith.
Hope to see you in Sydney next July.
The cemetery ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. Cardinal George says, "It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection." There are 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries willing to help you during times of loss. Call 708-449-6100 for assistance. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
Welcome back to our show. This is Bob Gilligan of the Catholic Conference of Illinois, and we're talking about public policy issues that affect the Catholic community in the state of Illinois. And this morning at 9:14 a.m., this is Relevant Radio, 9:50 a.m., we're looking for your input and your conversation as well as we go through some of the issues here this morning. The number is 312-751-1979. And this morning, let me introduce our two guests now that are going to be on the line with me. From Chicago office, we have Mary Lou Garvaccio. Mary Lou, are you on the phone with us?
Yes, good morning, Bob.
Good morning again. And also from the Springfield office, we have Zach Wickman. Zach, you on?
I am.
Good morning to you, too. These two associate directors for the Catholic Conference cover a number of different issues that affect the Catholic community. And I think what we're going to try to do this morning is sort of march through those issues. And if people have comments or questions or were wondering where the church stands on a particular issue, we'd like to hear from you as well. And the number is 312-751-1979. And for the listeners out there, I think we've been so dominated with the news coming out of the two presidential campaigns lately that up until recently, the news from the state really hasn't made a whole lot of news. But I think Governor Blagojevich broke that trend last week when he gave his budget address, I think it was last Wednesday, February 20th. Mary Lou, can you maybe just go over for listeners, maybe not so much for the public policy issues affecting the conference right now, but just give us some of the main talking points that the governor was coming up with from his address last week?
Sure. As you said, the governor gave his budget address last Wednesday, and he actually gave a pretty short address. There's still some details coming out, right? But he did talk about three main initiatives as part of what he wants to pursue this year. He talked about a program called Illinois Works, which would be a infrastructure program, a capital plan, basically talking about school construction, road construction, transit investment, that kind of thing. And he believes that this will create more jobs in the state. Another aspect of the plan that he talked about was a child tax credit to build off the federal plan that has recently passed, a $300 tax credit per child for families that meet the certain income requirements.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third program he talked about was a business tax credit, a 20% tax credit for businesses.
And I think the reception of that those particular programs or that particularly policy initiative is still unknown at this point in time. I know we've heard some stories recently about Senator Meeks and Senator Jones, as well as Representative Madigan, pursuing tax increases again to help pay for some of the needs. And I don't think it's any secret to a lot of the listeners out there the increasing frustration that many people feel with the state budget situation, which is that the expenditures seem to be going up considerably, whereas the revenues are not keeping pace, and it just seems like every year that problem seems to get worse and worse. So we have a situation now where the budget's out there. Mary Lou, in terms of some of the issues that we've been involved with in the budget, the conference is very involved in advocacy efforts as it relates to, some child welfare issues and some other major issues. Anything in terms of those issues that listeners should be aware of and from the budget perspective?
Sure. There are a number of initiatives that we're trying to work on in terms of social services and child welfare. There's some initiatives going out there to increase rates that foster parents are paid to take care of foster children.
Mm-hmm.
Their rates are low compared to, of course, what costs to take care of children. There are some initiatives out there to put $24 million into the reimbursement rate for foster parents. And then there's also bills out there to increase the rates over time to get them up to the rate they should be. That's one initiative that's directly for foster parents that we're hoping we can at least do something this year. Of
mm-hmm.
course, it's difficult with the budget, but...
Yeah, I know, and I know for foster parents out there, it's difficult times in that... everybody out there can feel that the increases in terms of the food costs that are out there, the cost for gasoline, the cost to raise children is considerable. Every year those costs seem to go up and up and up, and the state has not increased its obligation to foster parents who are taking care of kids who have been adjudicated dependent on the state. It's been quite some time. I can't remember the last time the foster parents did receive a rate increase. So I think the conference is trying to, do what we can to alleviate some of those increased costs. Anything else in the terms of the social services area that you want to come forward with at this point in time?
Sure. Well, there's an initiative that we've been working on for the past few years, talking again about costs, and this is actually for those agencies that provide not just child welfare, but all different kinds of services to older adults, to families. We're trying to work on an initiative to create an annual cost of doing business increase.
That's right.
Based on an index that would be something each year for all the different social services so that we're not running into this trouble every year trying to each group trying to get an increase when it's so difficult to do that. We've been trying to push an initiative to get something in the law that would automatically give an increase every year.
Okay, great. We're going to take a break now. We've gone over some of the issues relating to the social services and the budget. And when we come back, I want to make a bit of a transition in terms of the issues that we're talking about. I want to talk about some of the issues that relates to our Catholic schools with Zach Wickman. And I also want to talk about some of the life issues because there are some significant issues that listeners need to be made aware of. This is Bob Gilligan. If you want to join our conversation, the number is 312-751-1979. We'll be right back.
Real men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need.
I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298 or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
Get the tools you need to be a strong advocate for the gospel of life. Join us on Saturday, March 8th for a Humanae Vitae celebrating 40 years, a special day of education, inspiration, networking, and fellowship sponsored by the Respect Life and Evangelization offices of the Archdiocese of Chicago. Dr. Peter Kreft, professor of philosophy at Boston College, will engage us on how to win the culture war, focusing on the landmark encyclical Humanae Vitae, which is a profound catechesis on married love. We'll also hear from Bob Gilligan, Executive Director of the Catholic Conference of Illinois, and our beloved Archbishop Cardinal George. The conference is located at St. Lambert Parish in Skokie. For more information, call the Respect Life office at 312-751-5355 or go to www.archchicago.org. Join us on Saturday, March 8th to learn how you can be an advocate for this message of love.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Bob Gilligan of the Catholic Conference, talking with Mary Lou Gavaccio of the Catholic Conference staff, as well as Zach Wickman, about some of the issues that we're going to be dealing with in the the upcoming session, because now it's started again, the legislative session that we are currently in the middle of, although I have to admit that it never seems like we left last year. We talked before the break about some of the social services issues in the budget and some of the other related budget issues, but now I think we want to make a transition to another aspect of the conference's agenda, and we want to talk a little bit about some of the education issues. And on the line with us, we have Zach. Zach, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, good morning. I'm sure you heard part of that conversation as related to the budget. And,
sure.
You know, I making the transition from the budget to education, we had a good year last year, successful in that school safety grant. Why don't you just talk about that for a second, and then we'll talk about the issues this year, about what we were able to accomplish last budget session.
Sure. We had an aggressive policy agenda and accomplished a lot of it. The school safety grant, as you mentioned, this was a grant program only for public schools to reimburse the schools for health and safety measures that they took on behalf of their students. Well, we went in early last year and worked all year and a little bit more on opening that safety grant, $75 million in there, to non-public schools as well, and we're successful in doing that. We included the language in the budget implementation bill. That $75 million grant will now serve public and state-recognized non-public schools, which includes all Catholic schools in the state. There's an application process ongoing with the state board that seems to be going very smoothly. And in late April, early May of this year,
every Catholic school in the state is going to receive a check from the state to help us pay for health and safety measures. It's a really profoundly important program, a great precedent setting. Never before has the state cut checks directly to non-public schools. So I think this was a big win for our advocacy and a big step forward in convincing the state that they have a role to play, that the education system is all schools in Illinois, just not public schools in Illinois.
Yeah, especially as it relates to health and safety, which is such a an important component of today's environment, and I think lawmakers understood that.
Sure.
And and I think much of the credit goes to you for coming up with that program and for leading the charge in terms of the efforts in Springfield. Now that we're in the what year are we in? We're in the 09 budget year, right? But it's 2000.
We're still in the 08 budget
right,
year.
Right, right, right. We're talking about the 2009 budget. But in terms of the education issues that we're dealing with this year, you want to go through those?
Sure. You know, both we're looking a lot at maintenance programs. You know,
right.
In the past few years, we've added a lot to what the state does for non-public schools in increasing the textbook loan program and the new early childhood block grant, which is open to private schools, and the school safety block grant, as we talked to about just now. I think we're trying to maintain those things this
mm-hmm.
year because of the tough budget year, because, you know, everybody needs a little bit of a breather.
Yep.
After a very intense 13 months. I think we're looking to maintain the levels of funding in those programs. And if possible, if there is some opening for anything, I know we would like to add some money to the transportation reimbursement for parents of kids in private schools that aren't offered bus service. That has taken a little bit of a hit. I think last year parents were only reimbursed $100 for a full year of driving their kids to and from school. Obviously, with gas prices, that's not a fair reimbursement. So if there's an opportunity to do anything, I think that's where we'll focus. But really, we just want to kind of maintain the gains we've achieved and look to grow that in years to come when the budget maybe is a little bit better off.
Yeah, and I think one of the dilemmas for the whole education advocacy arena this year is going to be what is going to happen with the alleged the possibility of an income tax increase that yeah. could be dedicated in part to education and to some other things. It seems to be a lot more talk about that than perhaps that you would normally hear during an election year.
Yeah, I think a couple things contributing to that is one, everybody always wants to spend more on education, and
right.
there's just no more money to do that. And two, this year, the governor proposed his smallest increase in education funding since he's been in office.
Yep.
And it's tied to, as you know, the selling of the 10th casino license, which, you know, has been up in the air for many, many years. I'm not sure why they think that would get resolved this year. So I think there's a real, you have two conflicting things, a real desire among legislators mm-hmm. to spend more on education and a total lack of resources to do that. So.
Yeah, I think that's what you're seeing in terms of calls to use state assets such as the lottery.
Yeah.
I don't recall if the Thompson Center, the sale of it, was in this budget or not, but I know it's been in previous budgets. And some other state assets, tollways, the list goes on and on. And I think that's part of the call because, as you indicated, the total dollars that the governor has approved for education spending is I think was a bit of a surprise to the public school establishment this year, and but coming back every year, it's always more. That's one consistent thing in Springfield. They always want more.
Yeah, it's a black hole for sure. I mean, you know, they can't sustain the increases they've had over the past 3 or 4 years. I mean, the governor has consistently poured $400 million, $500 million, $600 million new dollars in public schools every year. And, you know, whatever your view of that, without a new revenue stream, you can't sustain it.
You can't sustain it, exactly. And that looks like the economy is not as strong as it was when we started the year. It looks like some of the sales tax revenues will be down, some of the income tax revenues will be down, and that creates problems for state
right.
government, especially with the burgeoning public pension problem they have and many other requests to spend money. That never seems to be a problem. What we want to do now, I think, is let's take a break and let's put to bed then the education discussion. And what I'd like to do is maybe open up the second half hour and talk a little bit about some of the other issues. And I know this is going to get people's attention. There is a big issue in the area of life, and I know Zach's prepared to talk about it. There's been some legislation introduced that we need to make our listeners aware of that is cause of concern. So when we come back after the break, we'll be talking with Zach Wickman about some of these issues affecting the right people's right to life. This is Bob Gilligan. The phone number is area code 312-751-1979, and we'll be back after this brief message.
people all over America, what have you done for your marriage today?
It's a good question.
I gave a huge hug this morning.
We've actually organized a date night tonight.
I took the baby while she worked.
I sent my husband a love email.
I have carried my wife's purse.
I shopped.
We talked.
I made my wife laugh. She's still laughing.
What have you done for your marriage today? Do something a little special. Get started at foryourmarriage.org. A message from the Catholic Communication Campaign.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 a.m. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
This is Bob Gilligan, and we're back here at a break. Joining us this morning are the two associate directors for the conference, Mary Lou Gavaccio on the line, as well as Zach Wickman. Before the break, I was talking a little bit about some of the issues pertaining to the right to life. Zach, you want to talk a little bit about the bill number is escaping me. Is it House Bill 5615? I'll have that number in my head. Why don't you give the listeners an overview of what's in that legislation?
Okay, well, it's a terrifically bad piece of legislation. It does a number of things. I think, first off, what I think we're seeing here is an anticipation on the part of some of the pro-choice groups in this state that Roe v. Wade could be overturned in our generation. I know this might be blasphemy in Chicago, but if McCain were to win the election and had a couple of Supreme Court appointments, it's very possible that you could see Roe v. Wade overturned in the next 5 to 10 years. If that were to happen, the issue would go back to the states. So,
right.
What has happened is this bill has been introduced, and it works in three main areas. And in the area of abortion, it basically states that Illinois would be prohibited from offering any regulation of abortion. Parental notification would not be allowed. Partial birth abortion, you could not ban. You could not require minors to obtain prescriptions for emergency contraceptives. It really codifies abortion as it says in the language, a matter of a person's right to privacy. And that would be problematic on so many levels. I mean, Illinois right now doesn't have a lot of regulation of abortion, unfortunately. This would make sure it never did.
Mm-hmm. And are there provisions in there that affect the what's called the Illinois Healthcare Right of Conscience Act?
Yeah, this is the second of the three areas, the Healthcare Right of Conscience Act. It basically undermines completely a healthcare right of conscience. It states that anyone who works in the healthcare industry and objects to abortion or contraceptive based on moral or religious grounds would have to do a number of things. They would have to give all their patients and their employers written notice of their moral religious beliefs. They would have to, even if they objected to these procedures, describe them objectively to their patients. And they would also have to, if they refused to give them, refer their patients to abortion services or contraception services.
Yeah.
And then there's also a provision in there that says, if an employer finds this person's moral religious belief to be an undue burden, which is undefined, they can simply fire them. So, in essence, I think the bill prohibits people of conscience are on these matters from working in the healthcare industry, and obviously that's problematic on a lot of levels.
Right, exactly. And it was just introduced within the last week or so, I believe, and so we're still in the process of, I think we're just now finally completing the analysis and talking to other advocacy groups about, forms of opposition.
Right.
And we'll have that posted on our website, I would imagine, within the next couple of days. But it's House Bill 5615, and it only has a House sponsor at this point in time, I believe. Is that right?
It's only begun in the House.
Yeah.
Now, they've already gathered over 20 co-sponsors.
Yeah.
So it's obviously a high priority of the other side.
Yep.
And something we'll be working on, I think, for a long time in the future.
Probably a long time in the future. Exactly right. Another another issue, and that we could.
I should say I mentioned there were three issues in the bill. The third issue is a mandate on every public school in the state to provide comprehensive sex education, grades K through 12. So if this bill passes, your kindergartner will be going to sex ed.
Yeah, that's where we're at in terms of some of these issues. It's not a pleasant, but they have a long way to go in terms of enacting that legislation. So it's just barely been introduced. But nonetheless, it's something that people need to be made aware of, and we'll be talking about it more on these airwaves, I'm sure, as we go forward. So that was a major initiative in terms of opposition. But also we've put in some legislation as well on the whole question of stem cell research, reflecting some of the developments in the past summer. Let's talk about that for a sec. House Bill 4463?
Yes.
Was that my close?
Good. I think that's
right. Yeah. And go ahead. You want to just go
over
that for a sec?
Sure. Well, what we do, you know, the conference has spent many years, four or five, I don't need to tell you, fighting the idea of embryonic stem cell research and therapeutic human cloning. And for many years, we held that legislation off through great efforts of grassroots, you know, everyday people interacting with their legislators.
Right.
Unfortunately, last year, a bill was passed that allowed the state to fund embryonic stem cell research and therapeutic human cloning. Now, we were able to keep any funds out of the budget, so they're not funding it as of this moment, but they have that ability to. So that was disappointing. But as we went into the fall and winter months, there became published these studies that showed that scientists were now able to reprogram adult skin cells to become pluripotent. Pluripotent is the characteristic of embryonic stem cells that supposedly makes them so good for this research. That is, they have the ability to change into different types of cells, whether it be liver cells or heart cells or anything you might imagine. So we thought, and a lot of people think, that this could render embryonic stem cell research immaterial and unnecessary.
Mm-hmm.
And viewing that development, we introduced a bill that would take the Illinois Regenerative Medicine Institute, which is the mechanism through which the state is going to fund stem cell research if they ever apply any funds, and use that for this new type of research along with established adult stem cell technologies, and banning the procedure of embryonic stem cell research or therapeutic human cloning because they're no longer necessary, or never were necessary, of course, but even for people who don't view the issue like we do, you don't need to do it. So we've introduced that bill. Representative David Rice from the Effingham area has introduced it for us. And we hope to use it mostly as an educational tool this year. I mean, it's very rare that you're going to have a bill pass 1 year and then overturn it the next year. So it'll take some time, we're sure. But we think this legislation is an important step forward. And we're going to use it to convince legislators that this is the way to go.
And not only that, but in this tough budget year, as we were talking about earlier, I would think it's going to be somewhat difficult to fund something such as the Illinois Regenerative Medical Institute with there's very little money on the table, which creates another dilemma in terms of funding anything these days. And if it were to be funded, you would think that it would we could go to morally acceptable means of scientific research as opposed to what the current law would allow them to do. Stem cell research, and I know, Zach, we haven't talked yet, but that issue from last year, House Bill 317, is probably still on the table, which was an opportunity for us to talk a little bit about the importance of parental notification, and it seems like that hasn't come back yet, and we probably don't know right now what the plan is for that legislation. Any other word on that?
No, I don't know what will happen, whether they'll reintroduce House Bill 317, which, as you said, guts the Illinois parental notification statute. It very well may be that they don't come back with 317 because, as I mentioned earlier, if they were able to pass House Bill 5615, which we just talked about, it would ban any kind of regulation of abortion and therefore gut House, the parental notification statute on its own.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's just a different way of accomplishing the same goal.
Good. Okay, let's take a quick break here. It is 9:39 a.m. here in Chicago. This is Bob Gilligan with the Catholic Conference, talking with the Catholic Conference staff members on different public policy initiatives. The number here is 312-751-1979. And when we come back, I'm going to be talking, we're going to switch it back to Mary Lou here for a second, talk a little bit about some issues pertaining to adoption and some developments with legislation on that topic. This is Bob Gilligan. Don't go away. We'll be right back after this message.
Wake up to Youth 2000, February 29th through March 2nd at St. Benedict Parish in Chicago.
Youth 2000 leads young people to a personal encounter with the Eucharistic heart of Jesus Christ.
Youth 2000 inspires youth to live and give witness to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
For more information, visit the website missionchicago.net or call 773-588-6484.
Do you know what's going on in your church around the corner or around the world? Do you want to hear stories about your faith? Do you want to help shape Catholic thought? If you said yes, subscribe to the Catholic New World, the newspaper for the people of the Archdiocese of Chicago. Call 312-655-7777 or visit us at catholicnewworld.com. The Catholic New World, a world beyond your church, a church beyond your world.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son isn't a number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
Welcome back to our show. This is Bob Gilligan from the Catholic Conference staff talking about some of the issues that we're going to be dealing with in this now existing legislative session down in Springfield. I'm on the line with Mary Lou Garvaccio from the Chicago office and Zach Wickman from our Springfield office. The number here is 312-751-1979. If you have a question or comment about some of the legislative issues that we're facing in Springfield this session. Before the break, we were talking about some of the issues affecting life. Zach, did I leave anything off? I think we covered most of them, but I think I got just about all of them. Did I miss any?
No, I think you covered what we face this year pretty well.
Okay, great. And Mary Lou, I want to go back to you for a second with one of the issues that I wanted to save some time for, which is we don't have language yet, I know, but it's one of the issues that the conference is going to have to address this year, which is the issue of adult adoptees having access to their birth certificate. You want to give us a rundown on that issue a little bit?
Sure. As you said, there's not many details, but basically, last November, there was a report that came up from the Donaldson Adoption Institute in New York, which talked about this issue of adult adopted persons having access to their original birth certificates. And from that, we hear that there will be legislation introduced soon, if it hasn't already, we just haven't seen the language, where adult adopted persons would be able to directly access their original birth certificates. Right now, there are ways that adult adopted persons can get their birth certificates if the birth parent consents, but I think this is a way for those persons who whose birth parents do not give that consent for them to be able to get their birth certificate information.
Yeah, I think the dilemma here is one of we're in a unique situation as a representative of the Catholic Charities agencies who for decades facilitated a significant number of adoptions. And at the time, it was largely believed in the culture that adoption would be, there was a pledge and a commitment of confidentiality. I think what we're into here now is a situation where some individuals would like to change the rules of the game sort of in midstream, which is that allowing adult adoptees access to the original birth certificate creates a challenge for those birth parents who were under the impression that would be something that would retain confidentiality. And it's a difficult issue, and I think we've seen this in other states as well, correct?
Yes. There's a number of states that have passed it or dealt with the issue. Most recently, I believe in Maine, they had legislation last year that just had passed, and they had the same kind of debate over the adult adopted person just wanting to know information about themselves versus the confidentiality of birth parents.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting public policy debate here in Illinois, and to the degree that we will find out more details, we'll be passing them along. But I think it's something we're going to be very involved with in the upcoming months or so. Any other comments about the adoption legislation, Mary Lou?
Not at this time. As you said, we're just trying to get the details on it, and at this time, it'll be, of course, an issue that we have to consider all the different sides and see where we go.
Let's talk about another budget dilemma, or not dilemma, but a budget initiative that we've been involved with for some time, the Earned Income Tax Credit. Go ahead. I want to run over the policy implications of it.
Sure. Well, the Earned Income Tax Credit, I had mentioned before the Child Tax Credit, and that's just a one-time tax credit that's going to happen this year if it goes through and they have the funding for it. But this Earned Income Tax Credit, it's based off of the federal Earned Income Tax Credit. Right now in Illinois, it's set at only 5% of the federal tax credit, which I believe currently is the second smallest amount of all the states that offer this tax credit. And we've been working towards trying to increase that percentage. Last year, there was a bill, Senate Bill 12, that had passed the Senate that would increase it gradually up to 7.5% the first year and then to 10% the next year to increase that amount. And it got stuck in the House, but there are efforts to try and move that bill again in the House this year.
Yeah. And once again, it's one of those issues where, in terms of our social justice call, that we would allow, we believe that low-income people in particular should be able to retain more of their earnings, which would help them considerably. But the public policy dilemma is that in order to afford them the opportunity to do so, it requires a deduction in the amount of income into the state. And as we've been repeating over and over and over in today's show, that's one of the problems that we have, is the state does not have enough money to provide the services it needs, and in order to enact something like the Earned Income Tax Credit, it's incumbent that the state is willing to forego some of that income. So it's a tough situation. Mary Lou, other aspects of the sort of the social justice issues that we're concerned about. I know we were involved last year with the We Want to Speak English campaign, and we're going to be doing that again.
Right. I think there are still efforts to try and get funding for that. There was a bill that passed last year that just would allow for this program to be implemented, but unfortunately there was no funding that was attached to that. So this year there are efforts to try and get funding. I think they had talked about at least $5 million maybe to start up the program this year. I believe in the budget there was some little money put in to maybe start a pilot project at one location. I'm not sure the details of that, but I think there was a little money put in there, but of course we'd like to have that more money available to more programs around the state.
And I think the other topic area that we'll be involved with a little bit is the whole question on payday loans.
Right. There was some legislation introduced recently. That a few years ago, there was a payday loan reform act that was passed to try and put some regulations on payday lenders in terms of how much they can loan out, the interest rates, that sort of thing. What happened is that some lenders were trying to get around those regulations.
Right.
They created new products that put higher interest rates out there that people were running into again. So there's legislation out there to try and close those loopholes that were in the current law, and hopefully we can put stronger consumer protections on those kind of loans.
Great. Okay. Let's take another break. We'll take the final break of our show. It is coming up on 9:49 a.m. here in Chicago on Relevant Radio, 9:50 a.m. We're going to take a break right now. We'll be back after this brief message to conclude our program for this Monday morning, February 25th. We'll be right back.
This August, pilgrims from Chicago will travel to Lourdes, France, to mark the 150th anniversary of the apparitions of the Blessed Virgin Mary to Saint Bernadette. The group will be led by Cardinal Francis George.
It's a place of hope, it really is. But it's all oriented towards the sick. If you're sick, you are the king of that place. Everybody's there who's in good health merely to serve the sick. And that's what the Blessed Mother is about. She appeared to a very poor girl, and she said, here's a place of healing. And that's what it's been ever since.
Join the pilgrimage to Lourdes. Call 312-751-2010. That's 312-751-2010. Call now and be part of this unforgettable spiritual journey.
Storyteller Susan O'Halloran talks about racism.
We have to understand is that these biases and prejudice we all have, prejudice is an equal opportunity offender, we all have, that it goes by in a nanosecond.
Cardinal George discusses racism in his pastoral letter, Dwell in My Love. Now hear Susan O'Halloran's compelling stories illustrating how racism affects all of us.
None of us escape not having some misconceptions of other people, and it is sad and it is disturbing. Most people I talk to are upset that they have those biases.
Susan is doing a series of talks throughout the Archdiocese. For more information, call Sister Lois at 708-442-3414. Or go to www.dwellinmylove.org for dates and locations.
Without that diversity of opinion and thought, and that can be people being the same color but coming at things from differences, we need to value that as opposed to be threatened by it.
Okay, we're back for the final segment of our show. This is Bob Gilligan of the Catholic Conference talking about the number of public policy issues that we will be participating in at various degrees of activity for the legislative session that just began a couple weeks ago. And with any hope, it won't be another 13th-month session like we just experienced. We will hopefully be done on time, which is the scheduled adjournment date, I believe, is at the end of May. And I think we're all optimistic. Or we're all hopeful, I should say, that we'll be out in time. Last year, it turned out, as many people know, to be a very long legislative session with a number of special sessions called, and the animosity between different chambers in the General Assembly was definitely on an all-time high. So maybe this year we'll hopefully do a little better with an election year and get out at a decent time. It is 9:52 a.m. here in Chicago. Mary Lou, let's talk a little bit about well, we have a couple minutes here in the conclusion of our show. There's been there's been some talk recently about the death penalty. Illinois has a moratorium on the death penalty, and that, as we know, is still in effect. The governor has pledged to keep it, at least for the time being. Yet there's been some comments made recently about looking at taking that to a public vote, or undoing or uplifting the moratorium. And there's been a number of bills introduced that would allow for sort of an early release. You want to give us a little bit of context for that conversation?
Sure. There are a couple of different bills out there in terms of early release or review of persons' sentences. There's one bill out there that would be for older prisoners, prisoners I believe that are over 50, I think is the age,
right.
And they've served, I think it's 25 years of their sentence. They would be able to petition to the parole board to have their sentences reviewed and try and shorten their sentence and have them given early release. And then there's another piece of legislation out there that is directed to persons who were juveniles when the offense occurred and they were sentenced. And they were sentenced to, I believe it was life without parole. And they would, again, it's a similar situation. They served, I think for them it would be 10 years they've served their sentence, mm-hmm. and then they would have their sentence be able to come before a review board.
Right. And the conference to date has not taken a position on,
right.
on either of those bills. And I believe that the one for the juveniles is part of a national effort, because I've received some comments in other parts of the country that similar legislation is being entertained and being discussed in other states throughout the country. But with regard to the death penalty here, is there any talk, do you think, I mean, the possibility of undoing that moratorium or...
Yeah, my understanding is that there was some legislation introduced, that the number escapes me, but I believe there was some legislation introduced to look at that issue again and look at when the moratorium was put in, there was some, and I think there was mm-hmm. a study done, and some recommendations made, and some of the people believe that those recommendations have been put in, or we should look at those and
right.
then look at lifting the moratorium as a result of that.
Yeah, and I believe it was the Democratic nominee for the state's attorney's office here in Cook County, Anita Alvarez, made some comments about the death penalty and looking at it, and as well as, I believe, Joe Burkett,
right.
the state's attorney out in DuPage County, made some comments as well, which prompted a state representative, I think it was Representative Ribaletti from the Elmhurst
right.
area, to look at, I think he introduced a resolution which would call for the question of the moratorium being lifted and the death penalty being put back on active, being a law again. So we'll see what happens in that area, and I know that's an issue of concern to many listeners out there in terms of what the role of the conference will be. Not only that, but our position on the death penalty is always subject of a lot of controversy, I'm sure, as we need another issue or two.
Right.
Okay, it's 9:55 a.m. here on Relevant Radio, 9:50 a.m. I think we've covered most of the issues. Did I leave anything out? Zach, I know we don't have much time, but one of the things that I know we kind of glossed over was the civil unions legislation. That's out there again,
yeah.
correct?
Yeah, it's been reintroduced in the Senate this time. It was in the House last year. All this bill does is, in the law, replace marriage with civil union. So there's no difference other than the name. All the rights of marriage will be conferred on civil unions, which, of course, are same-sex marriages or same-sex unions.
And that legislation last year, I think it got out of a House committee, and it stopped there.
Right. It got out of a House committee, did not have the votes to pass for the full House. You know, there has not been an intervening election, so I doubt it's any different this year, but of course
right.
it's something we're going to have to work on anyway.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it'll be interesting to as we go through this legislative session to detect from lawmakers, especially incumbent Democrats, whether they feel they're vulnerable at all in the general election. And my sense is, at least as of right now, I don't think there's much sense of a vulnerability, perhaps because of Senator Obama running so strong in Illinois that the likelihood of one of them being defeated is probably not very, very strong right now.
Yeah, we could have a very interesting election in Illinois
yeah.
where the issues are not going to matter. The only
right.
thing that's going to matter is, as you say, who's on top of the ticket. And if it's Obama, it's going to have ramifications in Illinois for sure.
Yeah, I think we're starting to see that already by it seems to me, the serious talk, anyway, of the potential tax increase. I mean, usually in an election year, you would never hear discussion of a tax increase, but it doesn't seem like that's phasing them, at least right now. And I know it's still pretty early.
Well, all bets are off this year, I think.
I think you're right. I think all bets are off, and we're just sort of trying to get through a legislative session here with minimal damage and play again for next year. Any other issues that you guys, we have another, 2 minutes or so in the program? Mike's shaking his head. And by the way, Mike's idea for spending money was to build a border between Illinois and Wisconsin so the Packer fans couldn't get into our state. Yeah, our level of sophistication here. And, you know, maybe that's not a bad idea. Any other issues that we didn't cover that I may have missed?
Well, no, I think the overriding issue this year, as opposed to last year, is more personality than issue-based. If the governor and the Speaker of the House can't figure out some way to, you know, not like each other but just work together, it's going to be another long year.
Yeah.
Because I just don't, you know, their priorities are so different. And their approaches to governing are so different that it doesn't look good.
Yeah, I think that seems to be the general sentiment. Even though the governor only gave, a 22-minute speech the other day, I was optimistic after that. But it seems afterwards that speech didn't seem to resonate very well.
Right, and when you read his budget, you realized all
right.
he was doing was rehashing all his ideas of the past
yeah.
several years. So.
Right.
Nothing changed.
Yeah, it didn't seem like there was much new there.
Yeah,
that's going to be a problem. Okay, with that, let's say our thank yous, first of all, to Mark Randall, who came in this morning and talked about that Illinois Catholic Prayer Breakfast. And once again, as a reminder, that Prayer Breakfast is going to be on March 6th at the Hilton. And once again, just to give the phone number to listeners, it's 1-888-970-7776. Mark was nice enough to join us this morning and talking about that very exciting first time springtime Lifetime Renewal of Faith coming up at the Hilton on March 6th. In the morning, Bishop Papraki will be saying the Mass for anybody who is interested in attending. Tickets are $45, and you can go also to the website at www.IllinoisCatholicPrayerBreakfast.com. And our thanks as well to the two associate directors, Mary Lou Garvaccio in the Chicago office and Zach Wickman in the Springfield office. Thanks for joining us, and thanks for all of you who were able to take time out of your day and listening to us. And we'll be back next month to talk about more public policy issues facing Catholics throughout the cities of Illinois. Thank you for listening. This is Bob Gilligan. Everybody, have a good day.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day, and God bless you.